Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bing, bang, bong. Here we go. Shelter Footycast live from Backchat Studios. Southern River Band boys there. Shelter Footycast on socials. You're going to want to know that today. Giveaways are plenty, Skeeter. We're giving away stuff to West Coast games. We're giving away stuff to Freo games. West Coast won the Derby last week. Harley Reid's getting rested. There's all sorts of shit going on. How are you, Mark Reddings?
Hello, Scully. You got the jumper on. Isn't it funny? About a week ago, I thought, can't wait for this hot weather just to ease off. And now it's gone cold. I'm missing a bit of sunshine. But you've got the back chat. Is it back chat? Beautiful. Looking very smart. And looking forward to footy's back tonight. I don't know what date it is. It's Wednesday. So we're playing footy tonight. There's Anzac Day tomorrow. I've got some exclusive details as well about the Anzac Day tribute match the Dockers are playing in, which is really interesting.
And, exclusive. Well, Mark Redding's exclusive?
Given a bit on radio this morning. But this is the info. Yeah, it's good.
I like that.
Yeah, it's nice stuff.
That's what you're here for.
Yeah. Big event for the Dockers, 27th edition of their Len Hall game, and they've made a couple of changes. I think it'll work well.
So you made a good point there, Skeet. So if you're listening to this, this is being released Thursday, but we've recorded this Wednesday morning. So apologies for a little lack of team knowledge, even more than we usually don't know. apologies. We're going to chat about a few things, and this is Wednesday morning, 8:19 to be specific. We're recording this, so we're going to get through this, do our very best, and if there's any real big updates we can give, I might even jump back on and we can slice it into the podcast a little later on, Skeet. How's that sound?
I'm loving it, loving it. And we've got a bit to talk about anyway with the tribunal last night. And, of course, well, we're not going to advance what we've discussed already, Tommy Barras, but his fate will be determined on this Wednesday.
So we'll get into that in 1 second. We've got our Travel and Sports Australia giveaway, our good friends at TASA. Two tickets, that is the tickets on the plane with the players flying to Brisbane. Is that right? That doesn't seem right at all.
They can't go to the Gold Coast thing.
So they're going to Marvel Stadium, Melbourne, right? They're flying to Melbourne against Collingwood.
What day is that game against Collingwood? Give me a day, because I'll tell you what, I'll give you a suggestion. If you do get there and it's a Sunday game, I'll tell you what, there's some things to do on a Saturday. You can go to the races, you can get yourself nice and comfy in Melbourne on a Sunday. Yeah, there you go. So you go to the races on a Saturday.
You'll be flying out Friday, though.
Perfect.
I believe.
Oh, you can absolutely get on the gas if
is
you
that
want
right?
it. Absolutely. That's a perfect type of trip for me, I would have thought. Get there on a Friday, have a hit out. I'd go to the races on the Saturday with seven people and just tune up for the Sunday afternoon shenanigans at Marvel.
So this is round 9, return airfares on the plane with the players. It's a winning plane now, Skeeter.
Yes.
A plane of winners. You go over, you go to the races with Skeeter. You going to go over? No.
I want to go over. I want to be on one of these trips and just cut loose once I'm back on the gas.
Which is what date?
Anytime.
Start of May, you're back on the gas?
Next week, yeah.
Right, so 11th, this is the 12th of May, the game, you're flying out.
No, I can't do that, it's Mother's Day.
Okay, you might see Skeeter there with his mother along on the
plane. His Mother's Day, I'm going to be here.
Collingwood, West Coast, if you want a chance to win those, listen to the code word. You need to enter that code word on backchatstudios.com.au if you want to go into the running for this one. Huge game, you got two match tickets in a... I'm seeing some stuff here.
You haven't seen before?
Yeah, correct. So, I'm not going to read those out because I don't know. If... Two match tickets in corporate suite premium seating. All right. Okay. And entry. Well, you assume you'd get entry with the two match tickets. So that'll be happening round, far out, 11, round 9, Collingwood West Coast. So you need to jump on that. Skeeter's going to give you the code word a little later on in the show.
Yep.
And for Freo fans, tickets to this weekend, Optus Stadium, Skeeter. Big game.
5:40.
Correct.
And get there early because they've got, as I said, they've got the Anzac tribute starts just after 5.
Western Bulldogs, Fremantle, Optus Stadium. We've got two tickets to give away to that. To win those, you need to follow us on social media. Shelter Footy Car, Skeeter. Do you know how to get there on Instagram?
No.
Okay, so you press the app button on your phone, Skeet. You jump on. There's going to be a post later today and tomorrow. You need to jump on there and follow the prompts on the social media post. Are we all done and dusted there? You happy with that?
Complete.
Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footy Cast. Let's get into the tribunal stuff from last night, Skeeter. So GWS went to the tribunal, took two of their best players, Toby Green and Jesse Hogan. One gets off, one gets a week. Did they get this one right?
Jesse Hogan, that was an interesting one about the way that played out because he alleged that he was sort of thrown into the goalpost and then there was a bit of toing and froing with the defence and the prosecution on that front. But yeah, I was a little surprised he got off given the action that I saw. Now that, you know, whether he made the full-blown contact, but I was surprised with that, not surprised that Toby copped a week given his history. But as he said, Toby's evidence was that he was totally going for the football and then he saw the hands of, was it Young's hands come up and he obviously made contact and he's found himself sidelined, which, you know, it's not the first time, but I think it's a couple of years since he's been suspended.
No, it was Boyd in the Toby Boyd. Green one. Young was the one that Jesse Hogan yes. punched in the head. So
punched in the head.
I think I usually side with the players on this one. I think they've got this one all wrong. I think it should have been the other way around. I think I'm usually a big supporter of, you know, niggling backmen in the back line, trying to put forwards off their game, which is exactly what Young was doing in the back line for Carlton. Jesse Hogan was frustrated. He's gone to push. I don't know if it was a push or a fist, but he was gone to strike, whether it was shoulder or his head, and he's hit him in the head. He's clearly hit him in the head for mine. And he's got off for the week.
Because the thing is, and I think I agree with this guy, that is not a football action. Right. I feel sympathy in part for the likes of if Charlie Cameron had been suspended or Tom Barras, because they're laying a tackle and it's part of a very quick moving game. That is completely a separate act to what we see in a game of football.
Tribunal Chair Jeff Gleeson said Hogan gave impressively candid evidence, including acknowledging he did swing with force to try and push Young. Like, you just change push and punch, and then you've got him going for 5 weeks. We are not clearly satisfied there was anything more than negligible contact made. Toby Green, on the other sense, you can see this coming from a long way back. Toby Green reacts to this footy 40 metres away, and he's going for the footy the entire time, and in the air. And what makes him such an incredible player? In the air, he has the ability to stop going for the footy in about 0.001 of a second and protect himself because he's about to make contact with Boyd. And, okay, yep, he gets him in the head. But if he doesn't protect himself like that, as my mum, who is a big fan of the Shelter Footy Cast, points out, Toby Green hits his head into Boyd and he probably knocks himself out. So to have an action that we clearly don't want in games of footy, punching people in the head, versus an action we do want in games of footy, an aerial contest, I just think they've got this so wrong. And they've continued to get it wrong this year. They've butchered this from pillar to post. I think they need a complete revamp of the tribunal process. Who's in charge of it? It doesn't seem like we get the results as footy fans that we expect. And I think that's the issue.
Yeah, I just think, going back to everything we've seen this year, a lot of it stems back from what's happened to Angus Brayshaw end of last year. 12 months ago, some of these cases were adjudicated differently. I think there's some clarity required. There's no doubt about that. And I just think, again, I'd just like to know if you sat down with, say, the tribunal or Michael Christian, is it the action or the result? If it's a result, that's fine. For instance, Tom Barras, did Michael Walters get knocked out? He did. Bang, you're gone. I mean, at least you can go, it's black and white there. At the moment, if it's the action,
there is
still, it's not the action. It's certainly not the action.
Well, is it the result?
Well, it has to be.
Yeah. Well, but at the same time, Cameron got a week, which didn't affect Lever, played on. At this stage, Tom Barras has got the week.
Cameron got off.
No, no, I'm saying he was given a week. So that on that basis, Tom Barras should be getting off.
Absolutely.
But he's been given a week. So the initial MRO is that, no, it's the action, not the result.
Yeah, so that's Michael Christian making these deliberations, and then it goes to the tribunal. I think sometimes we get confused. They're completely different things, right? Michael Christian views these with his team, if he has one.
And, to be fair, he's got box that he ticks off.
Exactly right. So whether it's Michael Christian or Mark Reddings, like,
he has to follow that.
Exactly right. Like, so the Toby Green one, tribunal, prior to impact, Green had abandoned his attempt to mark and the ball and turn his body to brace for impact. Yeah, no shit. What else are you meant to do? Literally, in mid-air, what are you meant to do? Like, give me an alternative. There is none. And Green says, the whole time I thought I was a good chance to take the mark. At the last moment, I realized he was going to touch the ball before me, and then I braced for impact. Like, I just think it's...
What was the result? Was there injury sustained by the Carlton player?
Okay. So, this is my point, which will shift me into Tom Barras. I want to make a big point here. I am sick of seeing players. Jake Lever did it. Old mate that I've said his name about three times. Boyd did it. Michael Walters did it. Throwing the head back, throwing your hand to your head, carrying on like a soccer player, like a pork chop. If your head's hit, right, you get off the ground, you're in concussion protocols, right, and then you're done. See you later. If your head's not hit, fucking get up and stop carrying on, because it's absolute a crime on our game, and it looks bad visually. It's creating incidents for players, there's a big difference between I think anyway, shrugging for a free kick, trying to draw a free kick, and pretending you're injured, pretending that your head's been hit. I really don't like it. Walters has done it a few times. I don't know about the other two. I hate it, Scott.
Yeah, and there's one I was calling North Melbourne and Hawthorn on the weekend. Nick Larkey, bending down, picked up the ball. He drove his head into, I think it was Impey or Amon. And the Hawthorn player was backing off. He won a free kick, Larkey, because...
Did he?
Absolutely, and I was filthy just because he was instigating it. And as you say, I'm 100% with you. I think players who accentuate what the contact was, particularly it's done now with the tackle... Their head hits the ground. Even they can instigate that head making contact with the ground. They put their hand to their head. That's the cue for the umpire. He's obligated.
I hate it.
He's obligated to blow the whistle. And I absolutely am with you. How you penalise or how you stop that, I'm not too sure. Because in NBA terms, it's flopping.
Get them off. Get simulation. Them off, mate. We've got process here. They need to get off and have
15 minutes.
Yeah, full concussion. You know, if you hit your head and you're holding your head and it's such a big impact, off you get. I reckon that's what it is. See you later. Yellow card, see you.
Well, we'll put it this way. If the umpire has paid the kick to you,
yep,
and you've put the umpire says you put your off. Hand in your head, that's...
You could be concussed, mate. Off you get.
You're not doing it, are you? If you...
Correct.
If you know that you're going to have 15 on the sidelines.
So, Tom Barras... comes to the tribunal at 11 o'clock today. So I'm going to probably jump back on and give us a bit of an update just after this. All right,
you'll be either giving a spray or a slap on the back. So
I will say before we know the result, free TB, the man has never been reported. This has to come into it off Charlie Cameron. It has to. Never been reported in his career. Never missed games. And he's got the good bloke clause as well. I think Tom Barras gets off. What do you think happens?
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I can't weigh them up, Scully, because it is so confusing. Yeah, that's not to say. I'd rather see if Tom Barras had tackled Walters, his head hit the deck, he was concussed. I've got no issue with Tommy being suspended on that basis.
I'd rather see the result. Give me one or off. Just give me one or off.
I'll give you off because it'll cause the West and every media joining WA will go bananas because of what happened with Charlie Cameron.
So off.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the results are in and Tom Barras has copped his week. That's right. The decision was upheld by the mighty fine people at the tribunal that Tom Barras could not be found to be offering exceptional circumstances for him to get off. There was a few reasons they went through in the deliberations and the decisions. But basically, to summarise it, it's a massive crock of shit. Not because of the action itself. Look, I think in any other year, I think we're probably seeing that a one-weeker. We're saying, look, I try my best to get him off, but if I'm going to actually go about it unemotionally here, I think he slung him, his head did hit the ground, they're trying to get that out of the game. They want that dangerous tackle element out of the game, right? It had the potential to cause harm. I think you can cop that. But the decision that was made around Charlie Cameron and his ability to get off an almost identical case where his player hit his head, he threw him with force, he slung him to the ground because he had a good tribunal record over his career. Tom Barrass has had a better one. And also undertook charitable and extra activities outside the game of footy. Well, Tom Barrass does that as well. So effectively, the tribunal ruled in the AFL's favour on this one. There was multiple reasons given. A couple that I found extraordinary. First, the vision captures Walter's head hit the ground with force. That is so even if his head did first land on the ball, which it did, the vision captures his head bounce off the ground. Walter's grabbed his head and took a moment before getting to his feet. So they've used Walters grabbing his head as a part of the decision, which, again, you heard me earlier in the podcast talk about this. That's a disgrace. Not necessarily on Michael Walters as a person or a player, to be honest, but that in the game, getting used at the tribunal, that he held his head, he's faking it. And I found that extraordinary. Barrass also relied upon good character evidence and his guilty plea in support of his submission that there are exceptional and compelling circumstances in this case. The tribunal did not find those to be true or real. So they're saying, are they saying he's not a good bloke? Is that how they're going about it? Look, I don't know. I've cooled off a little bit. About an hour ago, I went onto live TV and banged on about it a little bit. But we are giving you an update. Tom Barrass, clearly, disappointingly for West Coast point of view, he's been given the week. He'll have the week off with his two sons to see if he can get me another dinosaur for my son Nash, because he is a good bloke. He does charitable things in all sorts of life. And I think, I don't know where we go to from this. The tribunal has created an area of murkiness. I don't think clubs know. I don't think players know. Media and punters like me and Skeet certainly don't know. What to expect. So after the Cameron decision, we knew this was going to happen, that clubs were going to roll out this good bloke defence. West Coast tried it and apparently did a good job of it. But the tribunal have just decided not to listen to it this time around. It's why the decision against Cameron was a disgrace. And I think this one's embarrassing as well. It's on new AFL tribunal. I think we need a full revamp. I don't know if it's the people or the direction they're given, but there's no clarity right now. And West Coast will be without TB. So the free TB didn't get up. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of the podcast. All right, now, Skeet, there's a bit of news out of, well, I don't know where this, out of Melbourne.
It's Herald Sun's done a piece, yeah.
Right, this is out of Melbourne. Can you give us a bit of a breakdown, please?
Oh, it's pretty heavy. Bottom line is, there's a story that's come out about Harley Balick, who used to play for the Fremantle Dockers. Of course, sadly, he lost his life a couple of years ago. Harley's dad, Eddie, has become involved because there's a Sport Integrity Australia probe. In essence, and I'll give you some quotes of what Harley Balick's dad has said in just a moment. Harley died after a battle with substance abuse 2 years ago, and there's some accusations that the AFL and its illicit drugs policy is to blame for this. So I'll give you the quotes shortly on that. There have been, look, essentially Harley Balick came across to the Dockers, I think 2015. There was an allegation through a source, which is in this article for the Herald Sun, suggesting that Balick, this is quoting the Herald Sun, Balick witnessed Fremantle players using drugs just days after arriving at the club in late 2015, sources allege. So more
Who's
than one
source.
Sources allege, doesn't say. And he soon became an addict in the AFL system. So either way, at some stage at Fremantle, I don't think you can dispute that he had an issue with drugs. He was then traded to the Demons in late 2017, retired the following year. As I said, unfortunately, he since that's passed away. Now, Balak's case is referenced in a statement made by former Melbourne doctor Zeeshan Arane, which was handed to Sport Integrity Australia by Federal MP Andrew Wilkie last month, which is where we got the big story about the illicit drugs players being told to hide away, etc.
So he's the Melbourne doctor. He's the guy that was.
His case is referenced. So whether he's the complete and the only source of this story remains to be seen. And off the back of that, Harley's dad, who I presume, given this story, if he didn't believe it was. Had some merit, I think he would have shut it down and said no comment.
But he's the opposite, right?
Well, he's come out and he's broken his silence. Now, what that says to the article, I don't know. But he's basically said, I believe the AFL has a duty of care to formally intervene early into young, vulnerable players who have been identified as having substance abuse issues. I also feel that had better support been put in place early for my son, it may have prevented this tragic outcome. The huge disappointment is that the AFL knew a lot, and as a family, we weren't told. We may have saved him earlier. So
it's really
got a lot of layers to this, and I know you're very dubious about the source and the sources, and I understand that. But I think it's worth trying to look into whether there's some fact behind these allegations, as well as just throwing out, you know, Dockers players taking drugs in 2015 and Harley receiving inadequate protection or healthcare from whether it was the Dockers, whether it was the AFL, the whole system. I think it's worth a discussion.
Clearly, this is a story, and given Harley's father being quoted, that is a reputable source. I just have issue with sources unnamed saying 3 days into his time at the Freo Dockers, he saw players doing drugs, and you know that led to being an addict, that led to the illicit drug policy intervention. You know, and ultimately to his passing. If that's how it happened, great, put your name to it. I really don't like unnamed sources. That's my only point with this whole story. His father speaking about it, clearly this is a story.
Yeah.
Clearly, his father's not making this up.
No, but
his father's putting his name to it.
But my suggestion is that there are a lot of stories that see the light of day because of the sensitivity with it, and therefore. You say, if I'm a journo, and you say to me, mate, I know this happened, but you can't use my name. I don't think that doesn't mean it wasn't a story. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think it needs to be looked at as what it is. Because if you asked Eddie Harley's dad whether he believes there's some merit to the story in the totality and the allegations, and if he believes it, and obviously he's got a lot more vested interest in this than any of us, then I think it needs to be examined.
Couldn't agree more. I'm not discrediting the story. And in fact, it is a massive story given his father's involved. But I think if you're going to get involved and his father has the capability to put his name to it and the respect that you need to show his family, some unsourced, unnamed person throwing allegations around, that doesn't sit well with me. But there'll be more to come in that one.
Absolutely. And I mean, the question has to be asked. And look, there might be, certainly there's been a question mark, you know, which Dockers are still at the club and who was there. And look, there's some names I could throw up, but I'm not going to. One name particularly, I'm not going to touch that. That's not my area. But I would rather have a look at that story from both sides as opposed to dismissing it as being. I think it's, put it this way, it's a broader issue than just that Harley's, which tragically has ended the way it has. But I think it's worth the AFL. And, of course, Sport Integrity Australia is going to do its best to find out whether there's holes in the system, which I think it's fair to say there are.
Mm. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shot of Footycast. All right, Skate, let's get back into the footy, I think.
You know, it's a bit too heavy for us because it's quite simply we don't have all the answers. In fact, we've got very few.
Yeah, and I'm not sure we're moving into football then, Skate, because I'll tell you what, my tips are just in the bin this year.
Very poor.
Absolutely in the bin. Well, how's this one going to go down? I think this is a very hard game to read. Fremantle v Bulldogs, Saturday evening. You can win tickets to this game if you follow us on social media, Shelter Footycast, follow the prompts on the post and you can get 2 tickets to this game. It should be an absolute sellout this one, I think. Saturday night, Optus Stadium against a good side. Bulldogs, are they back in form? And Freo, where are they at?
Yeah, absolutely. This is more a question mark against Fremantle than it is of the Bulldogs because I think the Dockers have they've gone from being, potentially 5 and zip 6 and zip to 3-3. So
I wonder how much the attitudes would have changed. Just let's hypothetical, and they come back from Adelaide 5-0, and the exact same performance happens, which probably may have, well, who knows, I guess, hypothetical, and the exact same performance does happen against West Coast. I'm sensing a bit of panic from Freo fans, and I think that's like win-loss related. Like, you're very close to being 5-0, and I know the weekend was a poor performance. Of course it was. But let's just say you went to 5-1 instead of 3-3. I think maybe the attitude's different.
Yeah, totally. And it is. Your emotion is built around where you're on the ladder and how many wins you've had. And they've lost their last three, yeah, which is indisputable. I think it was the manner in which they lost on the weekend is significant, and they're going to look from a selection point of view. Of course, they lose Jai Amos, but they will most likely get Michael Frederick back from hamstring, Sam Sitkowski, yes, from protocols with concussion. I wouldn't be surprised if Heath Chapman, who was good in the waffle,
he'll be straight in. Matt. They're so desperate to get him
in the weekend. He had 26 or 28 and one goal, so he was terrific. So that's almost a given. I suppose the question mark is, do the Dockers, with Amos going out, is it simply a case of Jackson doing what he did for most of the match, in fact, 95% of the match, him and Darcy trying to get some better synergy in that ruck-forward combination, or do they look at maybe bringing in a Pat Voss, which I don't think is going to happen. I think,
why not? They're going to bring Tabner in.
No, do they need to bring in another tall forward?
Yes, their entire system relies on three tall forwards. I'll put my money on it. So a tall forward comes in.
Yeah, okay. Well, I thought with Tracy, and if Jackson's going to play predominantly forward, I don't think. And if you've got Sutkowski at his feet coming into the side,
I've heard this from Justin Long multiple times, that they want three talls. That's their system. So they'll bring either Tabner or Voss.
Well, for mine, Matt Tabner, he's either not, he's got his back's crooked. So, and his form's,
Voss kicked through the weekend. I think Voss plays.
Yeah, he could play. I'm not sure he's going to be the answer for them, but I don't think you play someone tall just because he's tall.
No, but that's their system skate.
Yeah, but you might get your system, but if the bloke isn't up to AFL level yet.
Why is Patrick Voss not up to AFL level? He's played AFL games, and he was outstanding in that game we saw him play.
A practice match.
Well, what, I'm sorry, I can't watch it in a game that I haven't seen.
No, I'm just saying.
I saw him play and he played well. I saw him play back-to-back.
But I'm just saying, I'm not sure that you necessarily have to play Pat Voss this weekend. That's just
on. Do you want to have a little wager on if they bring the third tall in or not?
I'm not arguing. I know that's their system, but just because that's what they've done.
You're saying they're not going
to
do it. I'm just
I don't think they need to do it. It doesn't mean they won't do it. I just think, why bring in a bloke who potentially isn't going to add something if they've got the forward line that can possibly do it without him? That's just my argument.
Because they're training the entire pre-season looking at that system, and maybe it's not working, maybe they change things up, but I think it's a lay-down misere that they bring a tall in. Tom Liberatore looks set for return after his break with concussion, ? He did collapse in the middle of a game, so after getting a head knock, so I'd assume that's what it was for. Jamar Ugel-Hagen still in doubt to play on this one, so we'll have to wait on teams for that, Skeet, but if he's not playing, that's substantial, and we'll see Rory Lobb running against his own side again. Yeah, going to target him again. It didn't work well last time.
I'm trying to think. Was it Alex Pearce? Was it Luke Ryan? And they end up looking absolutely stupid, the Dockers, that night.
Yep.
They just made gooses of themselves, and instead of playing the footy, they got rolled that night from memory, didn't they?
Yeah, correct. Who are we picking?
I think Fremantle will bounce.
Is that right?
Absolutely confident they'll bounce.
So do I. I think Freo will win this one, and Patrick Foster kick five. Now, on to the West Coast game. Gold Coast v West Coast in the worst named stadium in the country, People's First Stadium, Skeeter. It sounds like some sort of statue or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really silly behaviour.
I think it's an insurance company.
Is that right? Thank you very much. Isn't it a bank? Is it a bank or insurance? People's First Insurance, People's First Bank.
Could be a bank. I thought it was an insurance company.
Harley Reid rested. What do you think on this one? This has been reported out of Melbourne, so it hasn't been confirmed yet by the footy club, but if it is true, what do you think?
Tom Morris, for the Eagles, you're thinking, how's that got out so early?
So, great question, Skeeter. So,
girlfriend?
Well, it hasn't come. It's come from someone very close to Harley, right? Because the only people that will know about
his manager
is Simo, Harley, and his manager. So
I'm thinking manager and Tom Morris.
I don't think Adam Simpson's leaking this to Tom Morris.
No.
If he is,
then we've got issues. Yeah,
correct. I don't think Harley's leaking it to Tom Morris. But he may have told someone that may have leaked it.
Yeah, look, Tom Morris might have run. I don't know who Harley's manager is. I should know that.
Nick Geeshan?
Yeah, so he might have rung Nick Geeshan about something. Look, mate, anything going on? Oh, gee, your boy's going well. Oh, you're going to have a breather this weekend.
But see,
that could easily have happened.
So you're like, this is great chat, Skate, because you know what it's like in Medialand with your sources and your unnamed sources, right? So if Geesh talks to Tom Morris and they're just having a chat and then Tom Morris just fires off a tweet, I don't think that's going to hold his relationship to it very well. So someone's told Tom Morris deliberately. Someone's leaked this.
So should Tom Morris say who told him? I'm telling you, I'm not. That's why the unnamed source comes in again.
No, of course he shouldn't know.
No, so that's what I'm saying. In stories, quite often, and by the way, as a journo, you never get a story unless you make a phone call, or you get a phone call, but you can't get a story by sitting on your hands. So he's been doing the rounds, I think.
But Tom Morris hasn't just heard this from someone on the side and then just tweeted it out, right? He's got permission to do this.
And look, mate, do you mind if I throw this out there? I'm not going to drop your name.
And the way it was tweeted, it's happening.
It's done.
Like, Harley Reid will be arrested.
Yeah, he's going to Melbourne to see his family, whatever.
So it's someone who knows. So I don't think it's Harley Simo. And I don't even think it's Geesh, to be honest, but it's someone in the inner circle.
It could easily have been his girlfriend saying to somebody, look, he's coming home for the weekend, and that's just...
It's hilarious.
It's good. But again, if I'm the Eagles on a Tuesday... Not exactly the info that I want being pushed out there.
Does he need to be arrested?
Well, clearly not. Clearly doesn't have to be arrested.
Five games or six games? Five.
He's played every game, hasn't he? Yeah.
Six games.
Yeah,
round six. I get confused with these.
Yeah, because of the bye. I think they played five games, I think, the Eagles. Anyway, I look, there's no question.
That many.
They've played six, have they?
Yes. You did that, mate. That's seven, mate. Put your thumb down.
No, he doesn't, but... I totally understand what they're trying to do. If nothing else, just to give the kid a break from everything that's going on.
I don't hate it. Tom Barras, who does he get replaced by? Harry Edwards is probably the guy.
Yeah, he's been good at waffle level. They haven't got absolutely spanked on the weekend, but Harry Edwards is a pretty natural fit for him.
Liam Ryan.
Now, he's fit. He'd be right to go now, surely.
Yeah, he is. So I think they'll play him. Whether he plays forward or back, he's played both his waffle games in the back line. Ask Simo directly where will he play at AFL level with my little chat, whatever that's called, the Skodown Skeddy. You'd like that one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you're tuning in.
Another invoice, yeah.
That's absolutely on the spreadsheet. And he gave a very vague answer. So I can't figure it out. He spoke about having those kicking, running defenders, and then he also spoke about him switching a ball with a banana in the back line. so he's running out. Instead of just giving it right foot, he's done a big check side right across the ground.
I just can't imagine Liam Ryan in defence. The ball comes up, high ball, most blokes, Tony Barris, punch, take the mark. He tried to take the mark of the year.
Jeremy Howe's been able to adapt his game. Remember, he was a forward only, and they've put him in the back line. He's a very good defender now.
Yeah.
That's a good likeness.
Jeremy Howe's obviously more a key defender. And in your heart of hearts, is Liam Ryan's not a defender, is he? He's not a defender. You're kidding yourself.
I looked up on the weekend. Honestly, I was doing prep for the game. I looked up, and I just see this blur out on the far side. Just... running and bouncing and sprinting, which is such a great sign because it was Liam Ryan, right? And he was running so fast. He had six bounces down the far wing, 80 out, no one in the 50, just uncorked a massive barrel. It went out the full. And I was like, yeah, he's ready to go. How bloody good. It was just good to see. I think he plays in the forward line. I actually don't know. How's this game? Are they a chance of the Gold Coast or not? Gold Coast very hard to beat up.
Just up there, they're tough to beat. And they were putrid. I've got to say, they're terrible. The Gold Coast Suns after half time.
I'm picking West Coast. Stuff Gold Coast, mate. I said I can't pick them. They're so unreliable.
You also said the Eagles would win a game this year.
Yeah, don't worry, Scott.
You better jump back on board.
I'm picking West Coast. Ruffy. Why? Because I cannot trust the Gold Coast Suns. I do not know what side is running out.
I can trust them up there because you know what? They're in familiar surroundings. They've got the, you know, it's just a bit like, you know, sitting on their couch at home.
It's
they've got everything they know.
Pathetic.
I don't disagree with you. They, you know, until they can start to at least be credible away from home, I think they'll win on Sunday, Gold Coast.
Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shutter Footy Cast. Righto, let's whip through these games, Skeeter. The game tonight, Richmond-Melbourne. We've got the teams for this one. So the ins for Richmond, Dylan Grimes, Sam Naismith, Hopper's back, Banks is in, and out, all omitted, apart from Jaden Short, who had the calf complaint from the last time around. Of course, they had the bye last week, as did Melbourne. Sonzi, McAuliffe, Kaczynski and Short all out for Richmond. Sonzi will be the sub in this one. And then for Melbourne, Pickett back in. Laurie and Turner. I don't know who those people are. B. Laurie. Is that Bill Laurie? B. Laurie.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Ben. Tholstrup is out. Sorry. Tholstrup is out. Omitted. I thought he was okay. Salem out with a hammy. Ben Brown. He has been omitted.
Yeah, that no surprise there.
Last time he played, he saw Dan Cotton, then shook his hand, and now he's out of the team. Do what you want with that.
Where did they see each other?
We're doing our recording in the same hotel at Gather Round.
Oh, is that where we saw a vision of... And by the way, dickhead, how come you're filming me leaving the car park yesterday? My daughter's asking why there's stuff happening. You're like a 17-year-old. Is there anything you don't film?
Did you put that up on socials? Did you?
Oh, fuck. Seriously. I can't let anything. It's just like... our life's on display just because, you know, to give you content.
Yeah, tell you what, it is just brilliant content as well. You're trying to back your way out of a supermarket.
Oh, hang on. Dan, who's got a van, who looks like he should be the cable guy running drugs for some bloke. Chappelle Corby.
What is your drug dealer drive, Skeeter? I tell you what.
Either way, but he's given me that much room for a car that's on loan to get out. I didn't want to bang that one up, so I thought... Any danger, Dan? He sort of got in there, grumpy old man, and jumped and moved it forward a meter. Thank you, Dan.
Little gnome. Tash Overhoden will be the sub. Son of Shane. Get him in the team, please.
Cozzy Pickett's back.
Tell you what. Yeah, he's back, mate. I did say that was in, but he is back.
And Maxi Gawn. Richmond's last four games against Melbourne, they've been beaten average by 27 points. I haven't beat them since 2020. I think Melbourne, that performance against Brisbane, I saw the first 5 minutes, they were, well, some say cooked after that time in Adelaide. Either way, they needed the bye. I think the bye, as we've said, has had, for Geelong, for instance, over the years, indifferent results, but I think it'll be beneficial to Melbourne.
They're both off the bye, so yeah. I think maybe we'd have a different conversation, but because they're both off the bye, Melbourne win this pretty easily, I reckon.
Yeah, I think they win. I'm hoping Richmond show a bit, but I think the Demons tonight, which again has a nice, really good Anzac feel to it, will get the job done.
Can I get the exclusive news for the Anzac Day game for the Freo Dockers?
Oh, just little bits and pieces. On Saturday night, there's going to be the East Timor conflict, which was late last century. That'll be figuring prominently. There's going to be a New Zealand national anthem played for the first time at the event. And
one of the great national anthems of all time, New Zealand. Amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. It's going to be a guy called Jake who's going to be singing it on Saturday night. And off the back of that, there's a guy, a gentleman, a veteran, 105 years of age, Arthur Leggett, is going to be back in his wheelchair out in the middle of Optus Stadium as part of the pre-game ceremony. He was there a few years ago, obviously in his early 100s, and then there was a time when he was supposed to be out in the middle, but there was COVID hit, and we didn't have any ceremony for that.
His body's still going.
105 years of age, so that's enormous. So, yeah, if you're a Docker supporter, if you love footy, the proceedings, the formalities sort of begin about 5 o'clock. It's quite a – I don't know if you've done an Anzac Day match in Melbourne, but I've forgotten – forgotten about the result of the day I was there, but it was just, it was really good. And people say glorifying war, that's not the case. It's saying thank you to people.
Who says a glorifying
war? Well, no, that has been a theme at some stages over the years, but I think it's just a chance to remind ourselves, and more so, maybe your kids won't have any idea about conflict, hopefully, in 15 years from now, but to say, look, going back 100 years ago, these are the people that, and still do, defend our country and make sure we live in the best country in the world.
Do you go to dawn services?
I won't be tomorrow to breakfast, radio, but I go to a little service up at Mount Lawley tomorrow, which is just near the bowling club, and yeah, it's about a few hundred people get there. It's short, it's sharp, but you know, it's just a little nod to those that are who've done their time for Australia.
A lot of my family have served in World War II. On Dad's side, both his mum, so she was a casualty nurse. Dad's dad served in Egypt. My grandfather on my other side, mum's dad, was a prisoner of war in the end at Changi, and he survived that. So we've got pretty deep military connections, and I don't think I've ever missed a dawn service, and I'm big on taking my kids there. So since Nash was a baby, I'd take him down there. Up you get, mate. Like, so they, you know, I think there's the way the Anzac Day, the dawn service, but then into the footy. I know footy's a fun thing, and but that's kind of the point of like connecting with your family and being able to sort of share those stories back through why it's important.
Mm.
And so I'm very big on it just from a family perspective for us, but also just, you know, why you're here. You know, people have sacrificed a lot for you to get here, and be grateful for what you have. And that can be not about war. That can be about the lives we live. So.
Yeah, and also the times where, you know, young men would put their hand up to go to war not knowing, you know, the consequences. So all of that, you're 100% right. It's a community thing as well. It's no different if you're religious, going to church on Christmas Day and just saying that, look, you know what, that's why we're a democratic society. That's why I think it's wonderful. Some people think we might overdo the Anzac Day thing with the AFL, the NRL. But you know what? It gives different people in different parts of the country at events. And I'll tell you what, I do the I'm out there on Saturday night and leading the formalities. I've done it for a fair while. And it's really when it's silence out in the middle of Optus Stadium with 45,000-50,000 people there, and the last post is played and the silence, and you've got the two teams lined up right in front of you.
That's brilliant.
It's pretty powerful stuff. In fact, it reminded me very much, and I'm sure you're playing this. Well, maybe, yeah. It was a qualifying final, Collingwood versus West Coast, and there was a minute silence for Margie Varco, the Collingwood. Maggie Varco, who just lost her life, and there was silence, and it was being out in the middle for that moment, which is very sad. But yeah, there's something so powerful about silence and respect at a sporting event that it's hard to replicate.
Yep, very good. Let's move that into Essendon v Collingwood. Anzac Day, what a tradition this has become. Saw Kevin Shetty speak about it yesterday on the front bar. It's good to sort of hear how it all came about. It was a marketing play to start with, but then it turned into
something bigger
than that. Essendon will get Peter Wright back from his long layoff, so that's a biggie. And I wonder if they'll go in with Wright plus their two ruckmen in Draper and Goldstein. Do you reckon that one sits out?
It's hard to see him going with the three.
So if one sits out, I don't know if you know this or remember this, Todd Goldstein's the ruck coach. He sits in match committee. Do you reckon he's dropping himself, or do you reckon he's dropping
himself? Is he the ruck coach?
No, he's the ruck coach, and he sits in match committee.
How does that work?
Do you reckon he's dropping himself, Skeeter?
Well, Peter Wright's got to play.
Yeah, correct. So, are we getting another Daniel Rich situation where he's walking to the office and saying, hey, drop me, keep me out of the side? Because he's been going well, Todd Goldstein.
He has. He's gone well. And Draper, he's just a different unit, isn't he? He's got some tricks, though.
Correct.
On that basis. And Wright won't be... Does Wright just stay in the forward line and plays probably as a forward?
Forward only.
But then...
No chipping out ruck.
No. But so, if you've got, you can't, so the three, so
maybe,
that's,
you can, maybe you can.
That's going very tall.
Maybe you can.
Depends. I mean, also, you know, so it depends if there's a bit of weather around in Melbourne, you want to be going a bit smaller, but that remains to be seen. Good game. Essendon going to this with a fair bit of confidence, and they should be.
They sit in the eight. Collingwood not in the eight yet. So Collingwood 10th, 3-3. Bombers 4-2, 7th. They come off a good win against Adelaide. You know, some umpire controversy, but they'll be the best side for that entire game. Collingwood, though, a big win against Port Adelaide at the MCG. They look to have a few of their, I don't know, major metrics back that make them a good side. Their pressure, their fundamentals, you know, their, you know, skills, that sort of stuff.
But I still reckon Collingwood at the moment, they were 31 points down against Port Adelaide. They are not playing the complete brand of footy that they can. It's a bit like a team that's still finding its way, and I think that's going to be an issue against some of the better sides.
You're not picking Essendon, are you?
No. I'll give them a real chance. Absolutely. You just can't not discount them, given the occasion, what they've done in the past 6 weeks, albeit there's been some questionable results. But they're in this game. I think if they play to what they've done recently, forget the Port Adelaide result, but even against Sydney, they were in the match for a fair while. So, no, I'm picking Collingwood. But, I have no issue with thinking that Essendon could get over the top and not go over the Magpies. So I still don't think they're up and running completely.
We're both picking Collingwood. On the back of that, Skeeter, it's time to give our code word away for the Travel and Sports Australia. Two tickets on the plane with the West Coast Eagles to go and play Collingwood in Melbourne on Sunday the 12th of May. Flights will be on the Friday. You go over there, you get on the punt with Skeet. Oh, you're not going. You get on the punt, you get on the piss. Four P's. I can't remember what the other two are, but Collingwood, Traveller Sports Australia. What is the code word for this one, Skeeter, that you're going to have to enter backchatstudios.com.au. You'll see the pop-up. Enter the code word, which is?
Ah, very good question. The code word is?
I gave you long enough.
I know.
I gave you long enough. I've padded long enough.
Okay. Can it be two words?
Yes.
Okay. Victoria Park.
Okay. So that's Collingwood's old
spiritual home.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Okay.
I was just trying to think of something that had... Anyway,
I thought you could have done one.
I've been to Victoria. Oh, okay. Well, I was trying to think of a Collingwood... West Coast player.
Magpies. I don't know.
Sharrod Bellingham? Well, Sharrod, Scotty Cummings. Okay. But anyway, I decided
Victoria
not to...
Victoria Park.
Yeah, Victoria Park. Have you ever been to a game there?
Don't think so. I'm not that old.
Piss off. Anyway, I have. Tell you what, I ended up calling a game with Maney there on FM radio going back in the time. It was... And, you know, we both had big nights the night before and it was just... Seriously, it was terrific just watching the Ferals in action.
After I said we'd whip through, we've been slow, so we need to get through these games because you have to go to work. GWS v Brisbane, Manuka.
Where's that? Canberra.
God, why are they playing games there? That's on Thursday. That's on Anzac Day Eve?
Yeah, no, it's Anzac Day night. Night, yeah.
Sorry, I'm confused.
So Sam Taylor's still out. Toby Green misses. Jesse Hogan is in for the...
Cornelio's still out.
Cornelio's out. So they're a bit vulnerable. They've got a pretty good record, the Lions, against the Giants in recent times, believe it or not.
2-4? Like, this is another must-win for them. I looked at their schedule a couple of weeks ago, chatted to Harris Andrews, and they had some big games. They had to beat Melbourne, right, which they've gone and done. Mm. And I think they have to win this one to keep their season going, but it's going to be a bloody difficult task. I think Brisbane might win this, Skeeter.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good record, as I said, against them.
Given the injuries.
Yeah, the injuries of the Giants, I'd be more confident about Brisbane if the Giants had beaten Carlton, to be honest with you, because I did change my tip last week from Carlton to the Giants, which I'm really happy I did that. I told you I would. I followed you on that front.
Was it in the paper?
And got absolute... No, it wasn't, because once you put them in, we can still change them for next week, which comes up as
absolutely
the result.
What?
So I got absolutely poleaxed after leading by 20 points in the third quarter.
So you changed them from Carlton to GWS?
Yeah, and got rolled. So you can go stick it up your clacker. So I've tipped the Giants for this match, and I've no idea why, because you're right, Brisbane probably have more personnel available.
And more reason to win it.
And slightly more reason to win it.
Port Adelaide v St Kilda, Adelaide Oval, Friday. It's Friday and we've gone through about 10 games. Port Adelaide v St Kilda, Adelaide. Travis Boak, he's resumed full training. They could get him back. He could be an important piece to add back into this mix. Butler to miss a month with a hamstring.
Yes, St Kilda. Yeah, he went off on Friday night footy or Thursday night footy,
can
whenever it was last
confusion
week.
Confusion there?
Why is that?
There's a Butler. No, there's a far out. Please continue. Please continue. I thought Zach Butters was Butler.
There you go. So it's been a short year, but a long one for Scully. No, Butler for St Kilda.
Yeah,
you did the hamstring. Okay, so that's good. St Kilda, pathetic against the Bulldogs, yes. Coming off a very short turnaround, mind you.
Not pathetic.
They were terrible. And Port Adelaide weren't much better, to be honest with you, after half time. They were listless against Collingwood. I can't buy into St Kilda over there.
No.
Port Adelaide, and I think you're right, Butters will be... He started well, but Horn Francis was the mainstay for them at the G. I think their midfield probably is going to be too good. And you can see whether Charlie Dixon returns for this one after missing the Magpies match.
This is the fourth game out of six that Adelaide have had at Adelaide Oval. And fifth game out of seven. And they'll play there again next week in the showdown. So they've had six out of their first eight at Adelaide Oval, Port Adelaide.
And they haven't won all of them. They've been beaten by Melbourne.
Yep, you're right. And they might have been beaten by Fremantle. Do they play them?
They did. They've won. Yep.
Great. I don't know who I'm picking. I'm rattled. Port Adelaide, St Kilda, shithouse. North Melbourne v Adelaide, Hobart. Why we play all over the place? Hobart, Manuka, and it's Wednesday night. What's going on with the fixture this week?
What time's North Melbourne, Adelaide? Because if there's
11:45.
Because there's a time to spend some time with my wife, this is going to be the match that I'm going to sacrifice. Because this is one you can just check on your phone. North Melbourne, they've got some kids that are okay, but geez, they've got some
issues.
Massive. We talked about this. The defence is poor. They rely too much on Larky. Adelaide, well, they were just as pathetic last week, weren't they? I mean, I know they got within 3 points, but they've lost another game at home.
Yeah, right.
They really should. All the metrics show that Essendon dominated in every facet of the game.
At home.
At home. This season's gone. You said it last week.
So you're picking Adelaide.
I'm picking Adelaide to win, but their like, season's gone. They're playing top, North.
Yeah, you have to pick someone.
Well, because you know North can't beat an egg at the moment.
They might get Wardlaw back, which would be a uptick for North Melbourne, but I have to agree with you. But for some reason, and I don't know why,
you like
speaking
North.
About it, I for some reason like North. And I don't know why, but I'm not picking them. I can't pick them. But I just would like it on record, Skeet, that if North win, then at least I've said something that they might. And when they don't, I don't have to talk about it at all. Geelong v Carlton.
Match of the round.
MCG, Saturday night. This will be a beauty.
Absolute ripper, yeah. And
Geelong undefeated.
Absolutely. Not the best team in the competition, but undefeated. No. The fact this match is played at the MCG, I really like. Obviously, it's not going to be played in Geelong because Carlton are just going gangbusters. But the fact it's not at Marvel, it's at the G.
And it's Geelong's home game, is it?
Geelong's home game, yeah. So, no, I love it. This is clearly the best match of the weekend in my eyes.
No Tom Stewart. He's arguably their best player and probably most important. They've just signed Max Holmes to a big deal.
4 years.
And like 4 years, and it was like, how much money was it? It was a shitload of money.
Mm.
It was like $3 million over 4 years. I think that's right.
Is he worth that money?
Well, clearly, I mean, Geelong thinks so. I think so. Yeah.
No, you're right. If Tom Stewart's playing, I'm very bullish on the Cats. I'm still going to tip the Cats. I still think they have they've been very good. Let's be honest, they've won away from home. They've won interstate.
Yes.
I love what they've done, and that's not discounting what Carlton achieved against the Giants last week. But the midfield battle is going to be terrific. Carlton's got probably the edge in that department in many respects with Walsh and Cripps and Hewitt and Chera. If Chera's back, I'm not sure if he is.
So, yeah, there was Chera with a hammy. There was Saad with a hammy. There was McGovern with a hammy. So
they got away with a win against the Giants.
I don't think any of them come back. Zach Williams was subbed out last week. There's rumours that he could be playing, but he's sort of a 50-50 chance on a Wednesday.
Well, the other one that I've heard today is Wietering.
Jacob Wietering with a quad.
A test. Now, if he doesn't play, it really does, I think, push the pendulum in Geelong's favour. So I'm tipping the Cats. I think the Cats can win at
the G. Tom Hawkins may come back into the side.
He played against Brisbane.
Did he?
Yeah, at the Gabba. Yeah, he did.
He had 8 touches.
Yeah, didn't have a huge impact. And Paddy James, if he'd also played, not sure what his numbers were either. But, yeah, I mean, that's a luxury if you're winning by 4 goals at the Gabba without massive input from those two.
Who are we picking?
I'm sticking with Geelong.
Can I say if Wietering plays Carlton, if he doesn't, Geelong?
You can say what you want.
Okay. That's
so who are you tipping?
Yeah, if Wietering plays, I'll pick Carlton. If Wietering doesn't, I'll pick Geelong.
Okay, well, for those listening, you've got to put your tips in at some stage and wait.
Yeah, so just wait till the teams come out, right, and then do what Scoey did, and you'll probably get it wrong. Hawthorn v Sydney SCG. Thank God we're at the end of this round. I think we just got to Sunday. Will Day is back in the side. He's a very important player to Hawthorn. I would say close to their best player. Mitch Lewis, very important as well. He may come back after a hammy. So if they got those two back, they lift their ability to play at a level. They were good last week against North Melbourne. Are they good enough to challenge Sydney at the SCG?
Yeah, probably. I think they can be competitive, absolutely. And I like...
It's at the MCG, by the way, not the SCG.
Oh, there you go. I think they can be competitive at the MCG as well. I think with Nash, I thought Newcomb, those guys that have had some poor moments this year, there's a bit more to like about it. And if those ins are as named,
yes,
that's a... Yeah, and Sydney still, I think, should be winning the game. But we've seen them at the MCG, not more recently, but over the years, at times struggle against in this sort of match. So I think Hawthorn probably can be really competitive, but I think Sydney still have the talent to get across the line. I wonder how far away now. This is going to make me look stupid. How far away Luke Parker is from playing?
More stupid. Luke Parker is potentially playing this round, cleared to play for the first time in 2024.
I'm glad you said that. Taylor Adams obviously is back. Callum Mills is still a few weeks away, I'm guessing. Yep. But they're starting to get...
Their midfield has some names, doesn't it?
And, like, you know, Adams is
Parker,
just...
Parker, Mills, yeah, Goulden.
There's a lot of upside to them. Warner. And they were okay against the Gold Coast, particularly after half time. So if they continue that pressure, SCG, they're hard to beat. I'm tipping Sydney, of course, here. I think Buddy Franklin's going to make an appearance and do a lap of honour.
Oh,
I believe.
Comeback. So he was asked to do one at the grand final, didn't do it.
Yeah, he decided not to. I saw him at the SCG last year do something after his retirement was announced. But yeah,
this one, Sydney Hawthorn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you.
Given Hawthorn and Sydney his background, I think that's why it's taking place.
I like one of those. TASA giveaway code word, the Travelling Sports giveaway. Skeeter, remind our people what it is.
Yeah, it's Victoria Park. Is our code word.
Backchatstudios.com.au to go into the running to win those tickets over to Melbourne in a few weeks' time, West Coast v Collingwood. And if you'd like to win Freo Dockers tickets, just jump on social media, Shelter Footycast on Instagram, to follow the prompts on our latest post. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. Skeeter, you're a man of the people, mate, so we're going to finish up with a few comments from our good fans. Josh Mack says, Freo's game plan has a massive flaw. As soon as teams man up behind the ball, so we can't switch side to side looking for open side, we go to water. Longmuir needs to find a plan B when the oppo goes man on man. If I can answer this one, Skeeter. Look, I thought they took way too long to get into go mode. So that's take the game on, go faster. It doesn't mean run and gun and handball receives. It just means make quicker decisions. They were really slow building the ball up against West Coast, and they chipped and they chipped and they chipped. And then it just took too long for them to get into any sort of pressure mode for West Coast.
Yeah, I remember one isolated case. I remember when Neil Erasmus had the ball inside the centre square, and it was a turnover, and it was essentially one-on-one with Josh Tracy, I think, at the top of the square.
Yes.
It looked like a perfect chance to get that ball in, to keep it moving. I think he held the ball up for maybe 10 to 11 seconds, which is an eternity. Yeah, that's just a small example going forward. I think you're right, they struggled with what West Coast did to them on Saturday night, and conversely, they did look as if they had reverted a bit to that slow, indecisive ball movement. So hopefully that's been eradicated for this weekend.
Footycast at backchatstudios.com.au if you do want to send us a question, Skeet. This is from our good friends over at YouTube with some unknown username, unknown source perhaps, Skeeter, sending it in. The Barras tackle, he's fine. I had some feedback from Ali Barras, Tom's sister, telling me I've been pronouncing his name wrong. So
how is it pronounced?
Barras, as in barrister.
Oh, I've always thought embarrassed. So that's, and I've been told, having sat down with his late father, having sat down with Tom, he said, I don't really care.
Correct. So that's what I said to Ali. I said, I spoke to TV and he said he didn't care. She said, I don't care what Tom says. I care. Ali, no worries. Absolutely. I obey Ali Barras. She's a lovely, lovely girl. And so it's Tom Barras. Try my very best.
No, I agree with you. That's how we roll. Anyway,
if a player pins an opponent's arms and has full control, swinging and dumping him hard onto the ground, that's unacceptable. However, an opponent standing up with resistance and trying to break the tackle makes it more difficult for the tackler to control, and occasionally there's a release point, causing both players' feet to lift and land with harder impact on the ground. I think it's a pretty good summary of what happened. Michael Walters tried to break that tackle, and then they end up full force of both of them going to the ground. So it's going to be really interesting to see what defense West Coast go with. Like, I've been banging on about the good bloke defense. They're not wrong on that.
No, but I think the one element that I think is important is if you have one arm free, that's an important part of your defense, which I think Michael Walters did, Jake Lever did. So if you've got one arm free, that always gives you a chance at some stage in the attack, you think, to brace yourself. So
the one motion I think they'll use pretty significantly, because it didn't look like a pick up and dump. It was more a spinning one motion. So
we'll get biomechanists, we'll get scientists, we'll get...
You actually, if you're listening to this, you would have already heard me either go off my head at the top of the show or come back off it. So we already know the answer, Skeet. Just you and I, not quite up to it, a bit slow on the intake. Humanity is comedy. Last one, Skeet. Harley has made a significant impact on the Eagles, but I believe many are overlooking the impact of having several experienced premiership players back in the team. As a Freo fan, I noted at least five such players on the weekend, and you could even include Kelly as a senior player performing well. The Eagles haven't had this level of consistency from these players in years. Yo is looking like he was 5 years ago. And Waterman, I thought, was watching Fraser Gehry, looks and plays just like him.
That's not a bad analogy.
He calls himself the G-Train.
Does he really?
Yeah, Waterman. Well, Jakey's been rolling around the club calling himself the G-Train.
The G-Train with that left leg. And I don't think it's a secret that that's the reason that the Eagles are going better than what they have been, because in part of Harley, but mostly, primarily, because of their senior players being able to either be healthy or play well. Whether it's McGovern, whether it's Barras, whether it's Yeo, whether it's Kelly, who that feels like this year hasn't had to be the main man, which is probably, you know, what he came to the club as, you know, to compliment, as opposed to being, you know, the guy to try and win all the ball in the midfield.
We'll see how they go this weekend, Skate. That's us done. Social Shelter Footy Cast for the two tickets to the Dockers. Our good friends at TASA for the giveaway of the two tickets to Melbourne. You've got to enter the code word, which is...
Victoria Park.
Very much, Skate. And send us a question. Footycast at backchatstudios.com.au.
Lest we forget.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.